Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Dr. Brendan O'Shea, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Brendan, you have a GP practice in Kildare. You're medical director of the Otavirus Service, KDOC, and you're assistant adjunct professor of public health and primary care in Trinity College. So you're way overqualified for what I'm going to ask you about now. You're going to tell us how to get the most out of our GP appointments.
Definitely not too overqualified. It's a situation that just keeps on changing, and it's very enjoyable keeping up with it. But I think it is useful to spend a few minutes on this. People come in for consultations. The consultations are often really important for people, so it's well worthwhile figuring out what makes for a good consultation.
Okay, so look, can we talk about first, I don't know if this is a uniquely Irish phenomenon, but the list. So people have like a list of ailments. Now, when I'm making the appointment, should I declare if I have a list of ailments?
Fast answer, yes. Not everybody has a list. The organised crowd have a list. But then there are the other people that we love who are the disorganised crowd who are less likely to have a list. But on balance, if you come in and say, I have a list, and if you get that out at the beginning of the consultation, that's probably a good way to start it. And if you say, and I'm going to start with the most important thing first, then we're all eyes and we're totally on side.
Okay, prioritise the list. Do doctors get annoyed by the list? Should there be a limit? Like, would I feel three things is reasonable, like, but what do you reckon?
Well, we know that the average is kind of around 4 to 6, and that the older people get, they become fantastically complicated on 11, 9 or 12 medications, attending 3 hospital outpatients.
Okay.
And by the way, the door handle comment is they have their hand on the door. I just like to mention that I'm just bursting out crying all the time. So people are, and we make this mistake, that they're patients, that they're all the same. Yeah. Well, they're wonderfully different. It's one of the things that it's attractive about the day job for many of us. Doctors try not to get annoyed, but we certainly get tired and we get stressed. So this is a good conversation to be having this morning.
Okay. So in terms of that thing about, like, when they're on the way out the door, by the way, I'm crying all the time. So rather than immediate symptoms as well, should we take a little bit of time to tell the doctor what's going on with us in a less acute way as well, like that if we're feeling stressed or we're not sleeping or we're drinking too much maybe or whatever, are those things as important?
Arguably more important, because if you don't address those things that particularly relate to mood and social functioning, it's very difficult to actually get anything else meaningfully sorted out. So if we go back to Grandad, who's on the 9 medications and has a schedule of appointments with hospitals and is worried about a whole lot of different things, his ability to take his medication consistently becomes immediately damaged if he has underlying depression and anxiety. So the mental health aspect of this is very important. And it's difficult because most consultations are 12 or 15 minutes. That is the grim reality of a system that does not have enough GPs or GP nurses in it, on one hand. On the other hand, on the plus side, many people still feel that they have their doctor who knows them really well. Many of us in practice, we still have that feeling that we have our patients. So if you get the right patient, and there are no wrong patients, but if you get the right patient with the right doctor who is the doctor who knows them best, you can get a lot done in the 12 or 15 minutes. And if you've got a high quality electronic medical record, which your own GP has, you have a lot of really valuable information at your fingertips. Okay. Many of our hospitals are still run on paper, which is incredible.
So if you have a choice, and a lot of people don't have that much of a choice, but to have your own doctor that you trust and that knows you over a number of years is the ideal situation. Okay, so when a doctor asks us to describe symptoms, we can sometimes become kind of incoherent in the moment. Any good tips there?
Well, I'd continue on from the previous point, getting to see the doctor who knows you. The well-organised crowd are very good at that. They know that it's valuable. They're prepared to wait for a day or two or three or sometimes a week, if it's a complex ongoing issue, to see the doctor who really knows them. The well-organised crowd are very good at that. And they're the people who come in with a list and correctly prioritised. So this really gives us a good start to process.
So if I've Googled something and I have a suspicion what it is that going to annoy the doctor if I say, by the way, I Googled this and this is what I think?
Well, we work really hard to try and not get annoyed, but sometimes the situation could be challenging. But we fully recognise, and it is fantastic on balance, that people over the last decade particularly are taking more control, have more knowledge. Now, the disorganised crowd, they allow themselves to be seduced down rabbit holes of social media catastrophizing and listening to RFK in the United States about immunisations. So a key thing that we do, and we advise our GP trainees to do it, that we pass over a good online information. The HSE website has gotten progressively better over the decade. It's a great place to start for the common things. Patient.co.uk is another fantastic resource which is free and available to anybody. Any good reputable websites like the Mayo Clinic, for example, these are good places to start. So okay. Don't Google. Dr. Google is very dangerous, but go to good places. And a good doctor will often recommend where you should go. Our friends in the Cancer Society, for example, have a fantastic website for cancer. Our friends in the Irish Hospice Foundation have an amazing set of resources, particularly around dying, death and bereavement. And these are the complicated, hurtful, difficult issues. So that combination with the right information, with the right doctor, and they're all the right patients, then you can deliver great value. It can be a really good process.
Okay, Brendan, if I'm going in with embarrassing symptoms, I think a lot of people probably go in with an intention and then don't end up telling the truth.
A surprising number of people do come in with what they perceive to be incredibly embarrassing issues. Erectile impotence, marital difficulties, hearing delusions, alcohol-related problems, sexual issues, gender-based issues. So certainly in practice we see a lot of that. Now, practice is changing, but the success around that often relates to the pre-existing knowledge of the individual. Paradoxically, for some issues, people prefer to go to a different doctor. Well, I'm very fond of my own doctor, but I wasn't going to talk to her about this. But we strive, and it's part of our training, to respond to the individual who we are in consultation with for this 15 minutes. We're there for them on our better days.
And you've seen it all before. People don't need to be embarrassed.
No, people don't need to be embarrassed. But after 30, some very odd years in practice, new things still keep on coming in.
Okay.
So people are complicated. They're wonderfully complicated. And on our better days, we can embrace that and we can work together, and it's profoundly satisfying. But there are the chaotic days, and there are situations where people find themselves in terrible circumstances that make it almost impossible for them to talk. And moderate to severe spectrum mental health, for example, or if people have been profoundly traumatised by a diagnosis. But I think more of the time, I think we get it right. We hurt dreadfully when we get it wrong. It's important. People are wonderful in terms of what they come out with and what they get through.
For some, say, older people or people who might be slightly more vulnerable, might it be okay for them to bring someone with them so that they can process what's being told to them, or in case they don't take it in at the time or whatever?
It would not be okay. It would be wonderful.
Okay.
Or two adolescents together is better than one adolescent together.
Really, why?
Well, just because it's easier for them if she or he brings their friend with them. And again, it is the patient who's in control. So if he brings a friend in with him, the first response would, is it okay for your friend to be here? And if they say yes, it is, then it's game on, and it's a better consultation. And especially for complicated consultations, we do quite a lot of complicated things in practice. And if two people are there to listen, or one to listen and one to talk, then it's more likely that the six of the problems will be adequately dealt with and the information will be retained. And again, this is one of the things we like about general practice. It's a small service, community-based. It's easier for people to bring their significant others with them.
Okay.
If I had one ask to all the crowd out there...
One ask to finish up, yeah.
Yeah, the organised crowd are brilliant with their medication list. They make sure that they have a written medication list with them at all times. You can get it from your pharmacist. You can get your GP to print it out. So if they end up in the cooperative, not in their own practice, at 9 o'clock in Kildare in the evening, and if they put out that medication list that has their 9 medications on it, that saves 2 to 3 minutes of that very valuable 12-minute consultation. We do 24 million consultations a year in general practice. So that's a lot of minutes saved by that. The medication list.
Dr. Brendan O'Shea, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.